Joshua 24, 1 Samuel 12, Isaiah 53, and Hezekiah 14. Okay, Deuteronomy 10, I think, was the first one. Okay, there are three places, Deuteronomy 10, Joshua 24, 1 Samuel 12. All three of them will be the advice of somebody who has been faithfully serving the Lord for a long, long time. And so they're giving advice of how to serve the Lord, all three of them. Moses is 120 at the time. Joshua is about 110. Samuel's, it's hard to say for him, 80s, 90s. Me, 54. So, Deuteronomy chapter 10. And basically, let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand these passages. I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. Help us to honor your words. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be more effective or be effective in our service for thee. Help us to be people that, a place that a lot of us try to do something for you, try to serve you in some fashion. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Deuteronomy 10. Basically, this is not preaching so much. It's about... Hopefully this help you how to be more effective in serving the Lord, okay, in serving the Lord in some fashion. Like I said, these three men are all up in years. They're at the end of their life, at the end of their ministries. So when somebody gets there and they're going to give you some advice, it's going to be pretty powerful advice. But recently, many of you know that we've been associated with Child Evangelism Fellowship. They've gotten some schools open for us to get into. And actually what has happened, the folks up there in Valparaiso where this place is at, they're amazed at how many folks we do have had an interest in that. And of course, it's a great blessing. And we're actually have doubled their efforts once we get in full swing on it. And what's a blessing about the child evangelism thing is that, yes, we're still doing the work, and it's still King James Bible and all that stuff, and it's a 6 weeks program, so you don't feel like you're you know, selling your life out, okay? And so that's a good way to start really serving the Lord. And so hopefully these passages will help us to have joy in our serving of the Lord God. Have a joy in there. Okay, what does it mean to serve God? Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 10, here's what Moses said, verse 11. The Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee? Okay, here's what the Lord thy God requireth of thee. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Okay, so there's advice of Moses. Let's try Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 13. Now, I'm already there if you're slow, sorry. Of course, I had a head start. Joshua 24, verse 13. Now Angel's going to cheat and go to 1 Samuel 12 so she can beat me. Oh, you got it marked. Oh, you're ready to go. Okay, and I have given you a land which ye did not labor. Okay, this is interesting. Let's apply this to Brother Garcia. The Lord is going to give him a church which he did not labor. It's there. It's been there for a long time. And so what an opportunity. Okay, I have given you a land which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olivage which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore, okay, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Notice you're going to serve somebody. whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Okay, now 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel 12. This is Samuel. Okay, this is Samuel's advice at the end of his life. Okay, this is after Israel made the foolish decision of asking for a king, demanding a king. God answered their prayer. Okay, go ahead and have it. If that's what you're going to do, go ahead. And once they made the decision, there's no turning back on it. And so now here's what Samuel's going to say in verse 20. "Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, but yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with your heart. Turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, and I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." Okay, consider how great things he hath done for you. "But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." Okay, the first occurrence of the phrase "serve God" in the Bible, we hear this a lot. We hear the term a lot, especially in Baptist churches. Serve God, serve God, serve God. Now, people have a misconception. Okay, who's supposed to serve God? Everybody is. Saved and lost alike. Okay, does that mean all the time, full time? You know, like they say, preachers or evangelists. No, no, it's not that. And a lot of them aren't even serving God. A lot of them are serving themselves. Okay, but we hear that term in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12 is the very first time the phrase, the two words together, serve God. It's found five times in the Bible. Okay, and that's the very first time it occurs, Exodus 3:12, and God said to Moses when he was on Mount Sinai bound around the burning bush area, he said, "You're going to serve God on this mountain." Okay, now this is obviously the most understood way that people think that you serve God, and that's by getting the words from God and then using your voice proclaiming the words. Exodus 3:12, he received the Ten Commandments there, okay, and then other statutes, Leviticus, okay, and Deuteronomy, received all that there, and had the Ten Commandments written on the tables of stone, okay, and then he turned around and proclaimed that to 2 to 3 million people, and said, "God has chosen you to be his people. Are you going to choose him to be your God?" And they said, "Yes, we'll choose him to be our God. Only we don't want him to talk to us. We want you to talk to us about him." Okay, and then the God of the Bible says, "Well, that's a smart thing to do." Okay, and so Moses became the one who served God. Okay, he served God by working with Israel. And then in that idea, the Levites were chosen by God to serve God. How? By preserving the words of God. Okay, they were the ones who preserved the Old Testament and proclaimed or taught the words of God. So that's obviously the most understood way people think of serving God, but there are other ways to serve God. So I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning about serving God. Hopefully this will be helpful. And helpful in that you can be more effective and not be bashful to speak up for the Lord. Okay, the first thought is serving God is available in several methods. The most recognized method is using your voice. Okay, that's the most recognized. It's so recognized that when they asked John the Baptist who he was, he said, "I'm the voice." You say, "You mean be a big mouth?" Well, you don't have to be a big mouth, okay, but, you know, just use your voice for the Lord. Okay, and so this is the most understood way. People tend to think, oh, it's pastors, evangelists, and stuff like that. No, it's any child who speaks up for Jesus. It's any woman who speaks up for Jesus, whether it's on the job, whether it's you know, after the job or in a coffee shop, okay, or in the workplace. Okay, it doesn't matter where it's at, or at a family reunion. Okay, you and I have the wonderful privilege of opening up our mouth to serve God by speaking on His behalf as an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says we are ambassadors for Christ, and He's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. But I know why the average person doesn't open up their mouth. It's because of fear. Okay, it's because of fear. Oh, I'm afraid to say the wrong thing. Don't worry about that. The more you open up your mouth, you're going to say something wrong. That just happens. And what do? You take your foot out of your mouth and then just correct it and then go forward with it. No problem there. You see, a lot of times people are afraid to talk because, oh, I won't know the answer. It doesn't matter if you don't know the answer. Whenever a conversation comes up about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, or the Bible or truth, get in the middle of it. You have an opportunity to learn, and you have an opportunity to teach, or you have an opportunity to learn and teach at the same time. And you say, yeah, but what if they stump me? So what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's always going to be goofy questions. The Bible says avoid, some of these, goofy stuff, Is God strong enough to make a rock you cannot pick up? Well, do you have a brain that rolled out your ear? All sorts of stuff. Okay, and so the thing is, it is nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. Well, I don't know. But if you give me 7 days, I'll pray about it and see if we can get an answer from the Bible. Well, we don't know now. No, you don't. If you think you're going to know everything, explain to me how a black and white cow can eat yellow corn and green grass and have white milk. Okay? They're not going to know it. Explain a cell phone. I don't care if you can tell me all the technical language. How does that not get confused? Okay? And so people take a lot of things by faith. They have faith that their brakes are going to stop the car. Okay? And so why don't they take some things? Why don't they give God a benefit of the doubt for a chance? But no, they're not. Okay, so if you don't know the answer to the question, ask them to repeat the question. Doesn't matter if you heard it or not. Pray on the spot. Okay, and sometimes the Lord will give you the answer right on the spot. Or just give it some time. There's some folks came to Jeremiah and wanted to hear from God, and God didn't answer them for 10 days. Jeremiah 42. And so, when we open up our voice, and granted, you say, well, I'm an introvert. So am I. So am I. Okay? And so, we just have to recognize that there are times the Lord wants us to speak up for Him. Okay? So, the voice is the most obvious or recognized method, but there's another method. Service to others is when you serve others in a direct fashion, okay, helping them build something or helping them out or giving them something. Somebody in Rensselaer made some gluten-free, I guess they didn't pay for the gluten, donuts. I mean, they were great. Okay, now, they're gone. We ate them on the way here. Okay, that's our breakfast time. And so what she did is she was serving the Lord by helping out a child of God. Matthew 25, verse 40, Jesus Christ said, whatever you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Okay, so when you help out a widow or you help out somebody in church, it doesn't matter how, in some fashion, in some way, whenever you're doing something for this, an individual of God, a child of God, you are actually doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and sometimes the work was done better when you recognize you're doing it for the Lord instead of slipshod. Okay, Ashley right now is in Guyana. So she spent her money, okay, and she went down there and she's going to do what she can to help this missionary. Now she's helping a missionary. Yes, she gets to travel. She likes to travel, but she's helping a missionary. And it's what she's doing is she's helping the Lord Jesus Christ in the process. Okay, the gentleman is in the jungle, he's in the bush out there, so he asked her to bring, batteries, what all did she have to go to Walmart and get, load everything up, got a couple of Bibles, Bible cover, batteries, this, that, and all sorts of stuff. Now, doing that for an individual, but yet doing it for a missionary of God, doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's serving God. Okay, if you can't help with the child evangelism, how about praying for him? That's serving God. You see, service to others is service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Service to the church family is service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Service to other believers is service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, providing for the needs of others. Now, an honest-to-goodness need. You know, a flat-screen 48-inch TV isn't a need. Okay, a need for others. Acts chapter 20, verse 34 and 35, Paul said that he took his tent making, the money he made from tent making, and he provided for the needs of others. And then he said, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, and so a person can help provide the needs, buy a Bible for something like that. What you're doing is you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says that if a man doesn't provide for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. Now, whatever the occupation is you have in your life or vocation, that vocation technically becomes a ministry, okay, when you love the Lord and you can use your vocation, yes, to make money for your family, to provide for your family, but yet this can actually become a ministry. And the greatest way somebody on the job witnesses to their boss or foreman is to be a hard worker, conscientious, initiative, shut their mouth and work. Do what they're told. In Titus it says, not purloining. What's that mean? That's taking off the job, stealing from the job. Not purloining. Okay, that's the greatest way to witness. And then during the free time or during the break, that's when you could actually open up your mouth and talk to others about the Lord. Or talk to them about some idea, some truth, or whatever. Okay, and so our occupation, no matter what it is, now obviously I'm not saying a bartender. You know, praying and helping, you know, I'm selling Christian Brothers Distillery. Okay, I'm obviously not talking. I was just talking to a young fella, you know, and he's trying to skateboard for Jesus. Something like that, you know, I don't know, maybe he's skateboarding for Jesus. I mean, cigarette smoke was just blood, you know, coming out, you know, skateboard for, I doubt that they're playing Handel's Messiah when they're skateboarding. But, you know, okay, give him credit, think he's doing something for the Lord. I don't know. But, you know, obviously there are some things that's not legit. Okay, but one's occupation actually becomes, one's livelihood actually becomes a ministry for the believer. Okay, you fund different forms of service and outreach. Okay, and that there's different ways of serving God that's available to us. Okay, the second thought, and this is probably the most important, is the key in serving God is our inward attitude. Our motive. What is our motive? Our motive should be because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our motive. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you would, look in 1 Chronicles 28. This is David giving advice to his son, Solomon. So here we have a fourth man at the closing days of his life. 1 Chronicles 28. So we have Moses, we've had Joshua, we had Samuel, and now David at the closing years of his life. He's giving advice to his son about serving God. But the key in serving God is the inward attitude. What is our inward attitude? 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. There's the first thing. If you don't know God personally, how can you talk about him? How can you represent him and speak up if you don't know him personally? Know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all things and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Okay, and then the next phrase is an Old Testament doctrine. Okay, but still, the idea, the practical thing for us is that our inward attitude, what is it? It's a desire to please the Lord. It's giving God's message in his methods. What's coming out of the Christian schools nowadays, I don't care what you call them, conservative, fundamental, whatever, sadly is a flat joke. I mean, they know a very small section of the Bible that's going to aid their ministry. Okay, and they just don't know what's going on. I've been down in Rensselaer all these years. You know, probably the common agreement with the the reverends and reverendesses down there is that common agreement is hate Hoffman. Ignore him. He's a nutcase. Okay, and then what do we got going on down there or in our local area? I mean, I can tell you about preachers all across this country. Some of it, you know, knowing firsthand. But, okay, there's a guy in Monticello. Got in a love triangle. A pastor got in caught in a love triangle. And so he tries to get rid of the third member by putting a bomb under his car. Gets caught. Now he's in a pokey. A guy who stood behind a pulpit with an open Bible. Guy in DeMott. Gets caught stealing. Pastor gets caught stealing, and in his confession, he says, I'm a Satanist. Okay, guy that stood behind a pulpit with an open Bible. Okay, now these guys did not know God. They may have been serving thinking in their mind, and I can go on, but I don't want to waste the time. But this is all across the country. This is not limited to the Catholics and the pedophiles there. This is in Protestant churches all across this country. Okay, up in Lake Station, a few years back, the pastor gets in trouble publicly, okay, and then his son runs off with a 13-year-old girl in the school and travels and ends up out west someplace. Okay, these are in Baptist churches. Okay, how do these things take place? Now, obviously, in these things, if the devil can get the guy behind the pulpit, then the devil can get the whole church. So obviously the guns are aimed there. And so that's why these folks definitely need prayer. Okay, they need prayer. But you see, the message of God must be delivered in his methods. Okay, and if the first time that you're going to give a lesson or a message or speak up for the Lord, hopefully you realize how inadequate you are, and I am. Okay, and you totally rely upon the Spirit of God. Lord, help me out. Lord, help me out. I can't do it. I got to have your help. Lord, help me out. This is asking the Spirit of God to fill us with the fullness of His Spirit. And in Revelation chapter 2, this is called the first fruits of God. Now, if a person gets more and more understanding about public speaking, okay, then the problem is that we tend to rely less upon God and more upon our abilities. Okay, and that's when the Lord says, repent and do thy first works. So you have to totally rely upon God. The very first time I taught a lesson, I had not a clue what I was doing. Not a clue. Got the sword of the Lord out, found a three-point outline. And the first two boys in my Sunday school class couldn't even speak English. They were from Laos. So my class was basically Bible, Jesus, America. I mean, nothing like that. And I thank God for that experience because I had not a clue what was going on. So the thing is recognizing that the message of God isn't just man doing the work. It's God working with man. Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Notice it's not just the Spirit, that's a Calvinist. It's not just the bride, that's an Arminian. It's the Spirit and the bride. You recognize the wonderful potential there. You get to partner with a God of the universe. And then He backs up, hopefully, your words that are right. And when we misspeak, we just pray, Lord, kind of let those go through the ears and out the other ear. But you see, there are inward, what is it? Cleaving to the Lord precedes serving the Lord. Our close relationship with the Lord precedes our service for the Lord. If you would, look at Luke chapter 10. When one serves the Lord without cleaving to the Lord, here is the end result. Luke chapter 10, the last five verses of the chapter. The key in serving God is our inward attitude of love and our motive to please the Lord. That's the key. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, here's two girls, two young ladies. Okay, they're sisters, Mary and Martha. They have a brother named Lazarus. Okay, Martha is serving Jesus Christ directly. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to help, that she help me. Now, how many of us heard this before?
So-and-so's not helping clean the table off.
Okay, Martha. Now, Martha is somebody who is serving God, but has gotten sidetracked by the service and has forgotten that the most important thing was to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, if you and I would talk to Martha today, she probably would say, boy, did I botch that day. If I would have just said a gripe into my sister about serving, I would have, if she wanted to help, that's fine. If she didn't, that's fine too. I'll take all the credit for doing that service, but as soon as I was done, I wanted to hurry up and get done with that service, the physical aspect, so that I could sit down and listen to the spiritual aspect. And looking back at it, Martha said, yep, the Lord definitely was right. Mary picked the right thing to do that day. Now, here's what Jesus said. And Jesus answered, said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now, that's the only time I know of in the Bible when he says the woman's name twice in a row. That's like first and middle name. Six times he does it to men. This is the only time I know of that he did it to a lady. And notice, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. This is what's called being burned out in the ministry. Being burned out. Just tired. And there are times you have to get away. Okay? And so Martha is troubled about her service. And then Jesus said, But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The implications with that statement is, Martha, you have just now forfeited your service. Here you had an opportunity to serve me with a joyful heart, and if that means serve me by yourself joyfully, you would have received the reward. But now, since you griped at your sister and was trying to make her to do what you were doing, when she was doing the better thing than what you were doing, it would have much been better for you to sit at my feet and listen to me. You see, our inward love for the Lord Jesus Christ, our inward knowledge of our Savior is much more important than our outward actions. When our inward heart is right, the action will show up. And then the action for Mary did show up in that she anointed Jesus Christ for his burial. Three times it's recorded. She served Jesus Christ. She served Jesus Christ in the right fashion, at the right time, with the right spirit. You see, and the implications of what she did was not going to be lost. So, not all who serve the Lord cleave unto the Lord. But the ones who do cleave unto the Lord will serve the Lord in some fashion, some way. Now, the third thought is this. The outward ingredient of our outward action. Okay, our outward action of our service needs to be demonstrated in the actions of love and joy. Okay, now, I understand the average person don't know what love is nowadays. They think that if you come to church, and hold hands and pray and sing Kumbaya, that's love. Okay, that's not love. Love is looking at that individual and genuinely caring for them, putting their needs above your needs, and recognizing there's an eternal soul that wants somebody to care for them. Now, granted, we do get in a big hurry, and we often overlook things. Okay, but love and joy. Now, for a teacher to have joy in her class, but yet to have discipline, there's a fine line in there. But why would an individual want what you have if you're a grouch all the time? I remember Ron and my dad was telling me about one time they were at some farm show, and they got talking to this guy about some Bible doctrine, and this guy was going to be adamant, and he was getting his doctor, and then after the guy got done, Dad said to him, "Why would I want what you have?" Why? Because there's no joy. And the truth is, if the world looks at you and I and we're walking around making our big bold stand for Jesus, why would they want what we have if we don't have a joy about us? Yes, you can stand and be joyful. Yes, you can have discipline in your class and still be joyful. Okay, but the world is looking for somebody to love them, and they're looking for joy. Why do they think they're watching the sitcoms? Life is miserable, and they're trying to laugh about something. But the sad thing, the vast majority of them laughing themselves right into hell. And so our outward actions of love and joy, our labor of love is not in vain. That's the amazing thing about serving the Lord, is that it is not in vain. Even though there's going to be times where you go through a time where you say, well, that was a waste. There has been, you know, on a few occasions. And one thing I do not ask my wife, what would you think of the message? I don't ask that question. I don't ask that to people because you're leaving yourself open. That was horrible. Well, thank you very much. Now, my wife would not answer that way. No matter how bad it was, she would not answer that way. I know her. She would be totally upbeat and positive. Okay? But still, there's been times where I got done with a message and I said, that was a dud. And it wasn't that I'm looking for reactions. It's just the way it came out. It didn't come out the way I thought. And I inevitably said, that was a waste. And whenever I had those experiences when I thought it was an absolute total dud or a waste, inevitably, 2 or 3 weeks later, somebody would say to me, you know that message you preached a while back? That was really a blessing to me. Really? Which one was that? Well, is that one? It was, and then I've got to, you know, what was that day? And then I go back and say, oh, that was the dud. You see, the glorious thing about God's work is that our labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord because our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, the Lord will not forget our labors of love. What's an amazing thing. And in Isaiah 55, verse 11, the Bible says that God's word will not return void. Isn't that an amazing thing? The word of God will not return void. Now, what does that mean? That means it is going to accomplish what the Lord wants. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be positive. Okay? That may or not be. The Bible is written for a two-edged sword. It's written to save and to damn. Okay? Or destroy, it says in James 4:12. There are two men in the book of Acts. Acts 2, you have Simon Peter, and in Acts 7, you have Stephen. It says both men were filled with the Spirit of God. In Acts 2, Peter's filled with the Spirit of God, had 3,000 people accept his message. In Acts 7, Stephen, who was filled with the Spirit of God, had probably 3,000 people, maybe not that many, but had several hundred people accept his message in a little bit different fashion. I mean, they accepted it by picking up a rock and pelting him upside the head and killing him. But you see, the word of God did not return void from Stephen's message. So the outcome or the results, technically, that's God's part. And so however the commission goes, of course, we always like to see, you know, the positive side, but you see, during times of apostasy, most of the time it's going to be on the negative side. Okay, and we need to accept those things. God's word, that's the great promise of the Bible, will not return void. It will accomplish as he wishes. Okay, and so the outward results are the Lord's work. But in Psalms 100, verse 2, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness. And preaching as much as I do, I tell myself on a regular basis, I have the wonderful opportunity to proclaim the eternal words of God, even though I am not qualified, but the book sure is qualified, and I can proclaim God's words and try to be a blessing to my Savior. And that's a wonderful opportunity. And what I will do will not be in vain, and what I do will accomplish as the Lord wants. And so that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. And we do that because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And our joy is demonstrated because we love doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Granted, there's going to be times where you're tired. There's going to be times where you're absolutely worn out. And there are going to be times like the fifth day of Vacation Bible School that you're glad it's over with. Okay, there's those times. But there's a joy there. There's a joy because you're doing something for the Lord. And I tell you, the kids that are coming out of these schools do not know what they're doing. They don't know the Bible. They don't know God. And this is why you have the mess that's going on in the churches all across this country. And this country needs Bible believers who love the Lord and just proclaim His words. Now here's the great benefit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. Here's an amazing thing about the God of the Bible. Even though He says that's our duty, that's what the Lord requires of us. And when in Luke it says, when you do your duty, shall you be thanked? Well, the answer is no. If you do your duty, you're supposed to do it. But the God of the Bible will actually reward you for serving Him. Colossians 3, verse 24 says this, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The Lord Himself, can you imagine it? At the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Lord Himself is going to gird Himself and serve the ones who served Him. Isn't that unusual? And He's going to honor the ones that served Him. That's going to be weird. And I would dare say many of us are going to be like Peter, where he said, you're not going to wash my feet. And then the Lord's going to say, if I don't wash your feet, you're not one of them. Oh, in that case, then okay, go ahead, head to foot. Okay, but that's the amazing thing about the God of the Bible. He says, this is what I expect of you. This is what I require of you. This is your duty. This is what you should do. You should consider what I've done for you. But by the way, when you do it, I'm still going to reward you for doing it. Man, you can't get anything better than that. And so when the Lord does open up a door, if you're around somebody and you're asking the Lord to open up a door, that's what you pray for. You know, somebody at work that you want to witness to. Ask the Lord to open up a door, and you'll be surprised what He does. And when that door is opened up to where you can speak up for Him, don't hesitate. Ask the Spirit of God to guide you, to fill you. You ask Him to give you the right words at the right time to the right person with the right spirit. And then the results are left up to the Lord and to that individual. And you just thank God that you are blessing him that day. And there's nothing better than that. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be effective soldiers of thee. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to recognize that your work is the best, the greatest work in the world. And that what we do for you is not in vain. And Lord, a lot of times when we happen to speak up for you publicly, though, one that we intended to talk to or intended for the words to go to, often they go to somebody else that's within earshot. Like in the nursing home, where maybe some workers will hear this. Or me going up to Camp Summit where the one guard is listening. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us recognize that when we do something for you, when we serve you, then it is not in vain. A lot of what's done down here is in vain. A lot of things are vain things. Okay, and Lord, I do pray you'd help us recognize that when we serve you, it is not in vain. And Lord, I do ask you to help us to be a blessing to you and to serve you properly, biblically, and correctly, so that it might be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed with that.